Did you want me to get that one?
That's somewhere else.
I think that's where a mini puts it all out on in the bathroom. I don't know.
She must have thought your pants were always cold.
Yeah.
Peter is cold.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes.
Good seeing you here. Besides the light, you guys are kind of good. Besides the light. This is genuinely my wife.
Yep. My wife took off.
Your wife took off.
She'll be back.
Now that could be bad or...
That's not on door.
No.
No, no. Which could be bad or probably bad. Okay. One lesson's about the Syrophoenician woman. Actually, it's about her, but kind of about her. I figured I'd kind of do a little bit of the background leading up to when he actually has the encounter. And I was calling him the encounter of the Syrophoenician woman. So I backed up a little bit in two chapters.
That we're talking about the Syrophoenician woman. So you kind of get a little perspective of maybe where Jesus is. Now, this is Matthew 15 and in Mark 7. So how far along is it in his ministry, do you think? Beginning? Middle? End? A, B, or C? C. C. It was C. He's near the end. Okay? So it gives a little perspective on where he's at and where his mind is. So let me go ahead and read this. And it's actually, it's very similar, both what's in Matthew chapter 15 and what's in Mark chapter 7. And I think Lloyd's looking because he can't hear. Huh?
It was working when you first started.
It was working when I first started, and now it's not working. On what? Oh, yeah. Here comes your wife. I think she's bringing you a drink. Hot drink. Oh, you a cup. Yeah, not you, right? Would be her. Are you good, Lloyd?
I am now.
You are? Okay. Well, go ahead. So I'm going to read this. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your mother and father,' and 'He who speaks evil of his father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. You rightly did Isaiah prophecy of you. 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of man.' After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man.' Then the disciples came to him and said, 'Do you know what the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.'" Mark's very, very similar as far as what he writes in the lead up. He talks about not eating. He goes into a little bit more detail. If you see on the verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they cleansed themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. Same verses out of Isaiah. And then towards the end, you have more his discussion about the traditions. But it's the same one. He's talking to the Pharisees. So where'd they come from? Where did the Pharisees come from? Where's he at right now? Where's Jesus at right now? Where? What city? What city's he near? What area is he in?
Jerusalem.
No. Where's he at? It's not Jerusalem. He's up in Nazareth. He's north. So where'd the Pharisees come from? Jerusalem. They came from Jerusalem. So they came all the way up to Nazareth just to pick at him. Just to pick at him. Am I? No? I'm plugged. I can hear me. Yeah, yeah. Turn it up a little bit, Don. She can't hear. You can't hear. Oh, now everybody can hear with the feedback. Move it up. Can you hear that? Oh, can't even hear that. Mike's not picking me up at all. Now it's picking me up. Now I get a little amplification. That tie. How's that? All right. So, just to cause dissension, just to pick at him. So how long has he been battling with the Pharisees? Since the very beginning. Huh? Since the beginning of his ministry. Okay? So it's probably pretty close to 3 years. He's been helping people by the thousands, and they've been picking at him for 3 years. Were they eating with dirty hands? Were the disciples eating with dirty hands?
No.
No. No, they weren't. What were they talking about then? He says, you guys, they didn't wash according to the traditions of the elders. What did that mean?
The ceremonial thing.
The ceremony. You had to wash a certain way, and you had to hold your hands up. The water had to drip down your elbows and drip off and everything like that. And then he had to let it dry like that. If you didn't do it that way, it was wrong. And it was tradition of the elders. Written down in their law. When Jesus talked about it, he talked about a plant that wasn't planted by God would be uprooted. What was he talking about? Any command they made, any precept they had. This is a precept of theirs, wasn't it? There's no God law that says anything about how you're going to wash your hands, is there? Is there anything in Leviticus or any of the other books in the Pentateuch that talks about how you're supposed to wash your hands? No. It's one they made up, okay? So what he's talking about something that's not planted by God is those things that they have, that they've kept to, they're all going to go away. They're not going to stand. They're going to be uprooted. What did the disciples not do?
Follow the traditions of the elders. Doing what they said.
They didn't wash according to that tradition, that special way you had to wash. They probably rinsed their hands off. But they didn't do it the tradition way. And they were just sitting there waiting for a reason to pick. Now, how petty is that? He's just healed people. He's just taught people have more insight now about God and what his word really says, and they say, you didn't wash your hands right. That's petty. That's petty. They're looking for what's wrong as opposed to looking where God is. They aren't looking for God. What did Jesus have to say about the traditions?
Whose tradition was it?
It was the tradition that had been written down through the ages as they added to it. I talked 3 weeks ago about the two books that they had. One was the oral tradition, and then the interpretation of the oral tradition. And those are the two books that they held to the same level as God's word. And that was their problem. They were holding what that was to the same level as what God said. They've used their traditions to circumvent God's law. What part of God's law had they circumvented? You remember? That was the second half of what I read.
Honor your father and mother.
Honor your father and mother. What are they doing?
They're saying they don't have to because they gave it instead.
I said, yeah. Well, the money we had, well, we gave it to the poor. And so, mom and dad, we don't have any money to help you out. So, you're going to starve, or you're going to be on the street, or whatever, because it's better for me to give to these people here. Now, when they gave to those people, who knew about it?
Everybody.
If you give it to mom and dad, only mom and dad probably know. But if you give it to the poor and you clink that money really loud in the pot when you drop it in, or you make a big deal about it when you share the money, what were they doing it for?
The
show. The big show. Look how great I am giving my money, all this money to the poor, or the needy, or the sick, or something like that. And he said, you've used your own tradition to circumvent God's law. God's law is on your mother, father, and you've taken it and twisted it so you don't have to do that. So you can honor yourself. You give your money away, but you're honoring yourself. What's the next big event in Jesus' life? Well, he's gonna heal somebody, but what's the big event? His next big event? He's going down to Jerusalem for the Passover, he's gonna die. That's the next big event. That's where he is in his ministry. His last trip to Jerusalem. So moving on to that chapter, Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach? It is eliminated, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. So now they're all kind of off by themselves. He's so far in his ministry. How would you kind of characterize his response to Peter's question?
Huh?
You'd think by now, has he eaten with washing, whatever he did to clean his hands up by now? Been for 3 years? What do you think, what do you kind of see as his frame of mind when he answers Peter's question?
Still don't understand.
Put it there. It's frustrating. Maybe a little annoying. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? You've been with me for 3 years. Don't you get it? Yet? What's his expectation?
He
If he's going to be gone in 6 months, he's going to be dead. What do you think his expectation is?
Did he expect them to be leaders?
He expected them a little bit. If they've been eating, sleeping, doing everything with them for the last 3 years, wouldn't you expect somebody to get it? They don't get it yet. You get flashes of it where they get it, but they don't get it. I think he thinks, you've seen God in the flesh for 3 years. Do you understand what it's to be godly? You've seen me. I'm the example. And they didn't get it. Mark has a little bit different twist on it. And he called the crowd to him again, because it actually tells a parable. He began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile him. If anyone has ears, let him hear. When he had left the crowd and entered, the disciples had questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because he does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. That's kind of an interesting statement, that he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the mouth defiles the man. Well, from within, out of the heart comes the men, proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile the man. Just in the verses coming into this, remember where the disciples said to him, don't you know you offended the Pharisees? The guys who've been kneeling at him and trying to find fault for the past 3 years, and what were the disciples worried about? Offending these guys. Not worried about that Jesus was right. They were worried about offending. You offended them. What was the parable? It's not a normal parable, but he did call it a parable. What goes into the house, into the mouth, versus what comes out of the mouth. Okay? Who's supposed to understand parables?
Disciples.
People who are seeking God should understand parables. Didn't he say that it's foolishness to somebody who's not seeking God, but to somebody who's seeking God, they'll understand the parable? Who didn't understand the parable?
The disciples.
Can you imagine how frustrating this is for Christ at this point in his ministry? What do the disciples think he's talking about?
Food.
Okay? Hey, the law forbids you to eat some of the food. Okay? And he's saying, you're missing it. You're missing the whole point. You got the continuous demand for Jesus' time. I mean, all the time. 24/7. Constant attack by the Pharisees. They follow around. They find out where he is and they go pick at him. He's going to die. He knows he's going to die probably in the next 6 months. And after 3 years, his disciples still are saying, I don't understand. What do you think his state of being is?
He's probably ready to go home.
You bet. Wouldn't you be emotionally and physically drained? Totally spent. Not any more to give. You're done. You're exhausted. Emotionally and physically.
Almost like raising kids.
Huh?
It's almost like raising your children.
Almost like raising your children, yeah. Imagine if you had 12 children that you ran and they never got it. But you know, he's constantly people saying, heal this, heal that, heal this, heal that. And he's got a disciple sitting there. You're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. He's got the 12 men that he's schooling take over once the church is established. And they don't get it. And he never gets any rest. He's drained. Physically and emotionally at this point, he is drained. So, back to Matthew. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. So he left. Went up to Tyre and Sidon. In Mark, it says Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. So specifically, he went to Tyre. He went to the region of Tyre and Sidon because it's the same general area, but he went specifically to Tyre. That's in the red circle. He was down where the blue circle is. So he went north. What kind of people lived in Tyre?
Gentiles.
Pagans. Okay, it was up north. Any Old Testament? Did they have a relationship with Israel, with Tyre and Sidon in that area? Yeah. Think Solomon. Think David. Where did he get some of those trees? Where did they get the lumber? The area around Tyre and Sidon. They got a lot of them from there. From the king. So there was a good relationship. But then it got bad. In Ezekiel. Now in the 11th year of the first month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, Aha! The gateway of the peoples is broken. It has been opened to me. I shall be filled now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring many nations against you, as the sea brings up its waves. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. And I will scrape her debris from her and make her as a bare rock. She will be a place for spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. And she will become spoil for the nations. Also, her daughters, who are the mainland, will be slain by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. Further on in 26, I will make you desolate like the cities which are not inhabited. I will bring the deep over you, and the great waters will cover you. I will bring you down with those who go down in the pit to the peoples of old, and I will make you dwell in the lower parts of the earth like the ancient waste places which those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited. But I will set the glory in the land of living. I will bring terrors on you, and I will be no more. Though you will be sought, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. And he said more of the same things here as far as Tyre, because they saw an opportunity and they were going to take advantage of God's people because he saw that opportunity. So how did God regard the people of Tyre? What situation led to this for Tyre to say, hey, the gates are open, we can go down there? What situation led to that in Jerusalem? Think Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Did he take everybody?
No.
No. There were still people. There were still Jews that were left in Jerusalem. The old, the sick, those that were of no profit for Nebuchadnezzar to take away his slaves, or that wouldn't have made the trip. So they were still there. And the people of Tyre said, ha, we can come in there and take everything we want. He despised their arrogance, though. They thought of themselves as gods. Tyre was a city that was located on the coast. And it's Phoenicia. Ergo, the Syro-Phoenician woman. But it's Phoenicia, is that particular region. Okay? And it's got a big mountain range that goes up. So there were seafarers. And you hear about the Mediterranean in various history and everything like that, where the Phoenicians were seafarers. Well, they had to be, because they didn't have much land to grow food. I mean, it went from the seacoast up into the mountains pretty fast, so there wasn't very much room to grow anything. But it was very defensible, because it had mountains on the one side, it had the sea on the other side.
So you could have some very defensible positions. Well, okay, what world power was oppressing the Tekan? Was Babylonians? So who do you think God sent to, at that time, to punish Tyre?
Well, I guess the Babylonians.
Babylonians, but who? Remember the guy's name? I spelled it, didn't even look it up. Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar went down there and stomped on him. And later on, there was another siege of Tyre. So the Babylonians stomped on them, prophecy in Ezekiel. And then they set their city up in this island. Like I said, there was not much to grow. They were seafarers. The red all the way around that island is more or less the wall. So it was a walled island that was the city of Tyre. Nobody could get to. But the siege was about 330 to 332 B.C. Who do you think did that? This is just a bit of history I threw in here. He built that bridge. Alexander the Great. Okay? He went and smashed Tyre again. So the prophecy in Ezekiel keeps coming true. Okay? Tyre was a beleaguered city. So, and when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it. Yet, he could not escape notice. So when Christ went up to Tyre, he went into the house and he says, I don't want anybody to know I'm here. Why?
He needed rest.
He needed rest. He needed recharge. Okay. Physically and emotionally, he needed a recharge. Badly. Very badly. Why couldn't he escape?
Everybody knew about what he was doing.
He was in the Gentile region now. People knew. People knew. And I don't know how good a job the disciples did of keeping their mouths shut. For whatever reason, they knew. They knew he was there. But after hearing him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. So she made a beeline for him, didn't she? In Matthew, it's a little bit different. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Same thing. As soon as she heard he was there, it's interesting. She didn't go from Tyre down to Galilee. Why?
Long walk.
Long walk.
Being a Gentile, how much would she be in the
public? Being a Gentile, she wouldn't have fit in. She was a dog. So who was this woman? Someone who lived in the region, obviously. What was her problem?
Her daughter was sick.
Her daughter was sick?
With a demon.
With a demon, she was possessed. Okay. What kind of possession was it? Demonic. But he's trying to figure out, what are you asking? You remember the woman that had the demon that was possessing her that could tell the future? What kind of possession was that? Almost symbiotic, wasn't it? It wasn't tough on the woman. Certainly wasn't tough on her handlers. What kind of demon possession is this? What does it say it is?
Unclean spirit. Unclean. It wasn't a good one, I guess.
cruelly demon-possessed. What kind of possession is it? It's cruel. Remember the man that the demon would throw him in the fire and then throw him up against the rocks? It's cruel. This one's a cruel one. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syro-Phoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast a demon out of her daughter. She knows what she wants. She knows what he can do. In Matthew, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came imploring him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So you have a little more information at this particular point from Matthew than you do from Mark. What else do we know about this woman? She wouldn't take no for an answer. Okay. She's desperate. She doesn't see any other way to get that demon out of her daughter. And that daughter is evidently a small child. And the demon's cruel. Huh?
Probably her
only child. What I was actually looking for, she's a Gentile. She's a
you know, one thing that really, as I read this morning or last night, the fact that she said, "Thou son of David."
She knew who he was. She knew who he was.
And that's amazing for she being a Gentile, living in the areas where she lived.
Being a Gentile, as much as she knew, but she knew who he was. She knew, in 3 years he's been on this earth healing thousands of people. You know, we only have a glimpse of how many people he healed, what's in the scriptures. John said, if everything was in here, there wouldn't be enough pages and books to carry it all, because there's so many things he did. But we know he did that. So what was Jesus' response to her, please? At this point,
he ignored her.
Just seems to be ignoring her. She's over there just chattering away, and he's just not paying attention. What about the disciples?
Send her away.
Would you tell her to go away? They don't try and take her away, but they're telling Jesus, who's exhausted physically, would you tell her to go away? So what was Jesus' response to the disciples or to the woman? What was his response?
"I was sent to the Jews, to the house of Israel."
I'm only sent to the Jews. I'm only sent to the house of Israel. I'm only sent to that lost sheep. That flock. That seemed kind of cruel. Does that seem uncharacteristic to you? Let's see if my last slide helps. He answered, it looks like he was answering the disciples, but he said it loud enough where the woman heard it. Because she was probably right here in front of them. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take away the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And then Mark. And he said, and he was saying to her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take away the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." What are dogs like in this time? Bad news, okay? Piece of food goes out there, they'll tear each other to pieces to get that food. Okay? They're greedy. They're vicious. They can't be trusted. Those are the attributes he's just laid on this woman. That's how the Jews referred to the Gentiles, was as dogs. So what was the woman's response? When he said to her, "Okay, I came only to the sheep of Israel," what was her response?
"I
Not the next response, this response.
She came worshiping him.
Huh?
She came worshiping him.
She came worshiping. She bowed down to him, okay? She pleaded for help. She wasn't going to go away. She heard what he said. I'm not going away. I'm not going away. You're my last hope for my daughter. And she bowed down. And she said, Lord, help me. She didn't fill in any more details. She just said, help me. Likens her to a dog. You know what a dog is. What is Jesus' point? With this statement.
God rightfully gave to the Jews what was theirs. That it belonged to them. It wasn't meant for her.
Was it?
Yeah. And so he was just saying to her, this is not for you.
It's not for you. It's not for you. And he said, it's, hey, he makes the relationship there. While he's here, up until his death, his ministry is to the Jews. Period. Only. That's the only people that he came for in the ministry when he's here on the earth. But she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. And Matthew, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. So, she understood it. She understood what he said. But I don't know that she had it ready, but she had a great comeback. She was there. What was the Roman's response? What's embodied in her response?
I love her response.
It's a great response.
I love her response because basically what she's saying is just give me anything. This whatever you have left over, whatever scraps, whatever you have, I'll take. And that's, I don't know what her mind was, but I know that in saying that, from my perspective, what she's saying is, I know I don't deserve it, but give me scraps.
Give me scraps for whatever you have. And embodied in what you said, I think, is her humility. She knew her relationship to God. Okay? Wasn't what it was with the Jews. Right? She didn't get upset at all. She understood it. She knows that's my relationship. Somebody has said something like that to us, what would our response have been? Who do you think you are? Wouldn't have been humility necessarily. But that woman was humble, stayed humble. That's amazing. It really is.
There's something about desperation that makes us humble, though.
When she's gone down every path she can, and it's a dead end, she finally gets to this one. She says, this is it. If this doesn't work, nothing's going to work.
She was really focused on what she wanted.
Yep.
And she knew that Jesus was able to help her.
Right. And what she wanted wasn't for herself. It was for her daughter. Okay? She didn't ask for a thing for herself. Just get rid of the cruel demon that's inside my daughter. Get rid of it. That's the only thing she wanted. Fill in the blank. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. In Mark. And he said to her, Because of the answer, go. The demon has gone from out of your daughter. And going back home, she found her child lying in bed, the demon having left. What did Jesus think of her response?
She had great faith that he could do what she wanted him to do.
Yeah. She understood the relationships and everything else. She knew he could heal in an area where he hadn't healed anybody. Because he didn't go up to Tyre and Sidon. Because that was where all the Gentiles were. He was trying to get away from all the Jews. But he saw faith in that woman. And a great answer. said, your answer means you understand the relationship, and you're humble. You're still humble. May have respected her tenacity, too. She wouldn't give it up. She was not going to give up. What did he do? He healed her. He healed the daughter. He cast out the demon. Didn't have to go there. Kind of reminds you of the centurion, doesn't it? He said, you don't even have to go there. There's another Gentile where he said, I don't even have to go. Just say the word, God, Christ, and he'll be healed.
Interesting that Jesus was sent to the Jews, but he sure had a lot of compassion and concern for those that are Gentiles or the lost.
And we see that. We see that with Christ in the fact that how that humility, that compassion gives us insight. You see the compassion of God in the Old Testament, but now you see it one-on-one. You saw it to a nation, between God and the nation. And in some instances, between a person and God in the Old Testament. But you see it a lot more personal, particularly in the book of John, between Christ and us. Okay. Is that initial response something we would have expected from Christ? He told her, he ignored her. Then he told her to go away. Maybe this helps a little bit. Out of John 10. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will come one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loved me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. The commandment I received from my Father. Who are the other sheep?
The Gentiles are the sheep.
The Gentiles.
Okay. The sheep that he's talking about initially is the nation of Israel. The other sheep are the Gentiles. The highlighted verb, what does that imply? What tense is it?
The Gentiles will eventually be caught and redeemed to come in.
What tense is it? Past, present, or future?
Future.
That's just great stuff. Yeah, it's future tense. Okay, so it's coming, but it wasn't time. When she came to him, it wasn't time. He hadn't died and been resurrected. But he said, for you, I'll make an exception. Which is just how compassionate our God is. He overlooks all those rotten things we do all the time and says, I have compassion. I'm going to take it away. I'm going to make it pure. Questions? What's next week? What's next week?
We're talking about raising a man from the dead.
Raising a man from the dead. Wouldn't be Lazarus, would it?
Yeah.
Well, there's two. There was a young man at the beginning of his ministry and Lazarus at the end. So it's Lazarus. Thank you.
Do you have time to get a drink of water, take a break? And I usually sit down a little bit once in a while, sit up here with me. Baby's crying. Oh.
Yeah, I think there's a little wall, electric system. out again.
Two straight wins.
I'll say.
He's great.
I'm doing great.